This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Welcome back to our Q&A with Sheikh Akram Nedwi. And this Q&A is live streamed on our Facebook and our YouTube, alhamdulillah. And it's every Thursday, 6 p.m. BST. Inshallah, I hope more people will be joining us and the regular people that normally do join us. Inshallah, let's get started. Sheikh, I do want to maybe go back to a few questions that we missed last week, because we usually do have an influx of questions and we don't normally always, we're not able to get to all of them straight away. So inshallah, I want to cover a question that was asked yesterday at the end of our Q&A. This brother was asking, Sheikh, can you explain the hadith which says a nation which women lead will not prosper?
You know, one thing we have to understand, that any speech that people make, it always bound to a time and context. People speak always in the time. They don't mean what you learn from the words generally. So basically, don't derive the meaning just from the words. If you don't know the context, it always can be misleading. That's why I always say that meanings don't live in the words. They don't live in the sentences. So sometimes, you know, like for example, you see the Prophet always have been asking people when they urinate, they should sit down. And Aisha said that I never have seen the Prophet urinating while standing or sitting down. But still there are hadith, sound hadith in Bukhari Muslim, that the Prophet ﷺ did urinate while standing. So if you don't know really what were the context, that you will think of how, what happened, then you know, people can do anyway. When you learn the context, because there was nothing, no place to sit, it was a place where people used to throw the rubbish, you know, so then it was very difficult to sit, your clothes become dirty. So the Prophet ﷺ chose you know, something which is not preferred, but that was the best choice. So sometime, you know, what it disliked could be the best choice of the people. Or you have to learn all that in the context. Quran has mentioned about the women in so many contexts. And all are praiseworthy, you know, the women going outside, women as mother, women as sister, women, you know, talking to the men. It all has come nicely. Similarly, Quran mentioned a woman who was a queen leading her nation. And Quran actually has praised her wisdom. She was a very wise person in the time of Sulaiman alayhi salam. The Quran has no criticism about the woman. Now, when you read this hadith, the Prophet said, "La yuflihu qawmun wallaw amrahum imra'atan." People who have assigned their matter, their task to women, they are not going to succeed. Does he mean general thing? No, he didn't mean general. He's actually referring to certain people. So in his time, Persian people, they really did not behave properly. And when the Prophet wrote a letter to them, he wrote a letter to all the rulers, you know, to Romans, to Egyptians, and everybody respected his letter. But the Persian people, they did not respect. They tore the letter and they were disrespectful to the Prophet. And then meanwhile, they also appointed a woman as the leader. So the Prophet ﷺ referring to these people who have appointed the woman as the leader, they are not going to succeed. They are not going to succeed because the women, no. They are not going to succeed because what they have done with the Prophet ﷺ and what the behavior is. But he mentioned the women because there was their identity to describe them, who are these people. So people can know. So now people connect with that. So for example, like, you know, in my class, there are so many students. And I see, I just want to refer to one of them. I think he's not going to succeed. I said, this a student in our class who is coming from India is not going to succeed in the exam. So the reason he's not going to succeed because he's not working hard, not because he's coming from India. The word he's coming from India, I added there to introduce him, to make his identity. So otherwise, there's no general, instruction from the Prophet about the women that they can't serve. Actually, on the contrary, they have been good leaders among the women. In India, there have been few rulers. The women are very, very good rulers. You know, until they wrote books and they ruled very nicely. Especially the state of Bhopal, the two women, two or three women, they have been leading. They are queens. So, and also you can see in the world there have been women who have been good leaders. So how the Prophet can say, which actually does not make sense. He's referring to certain people. So always understand that, hadith actually must be understood in the context in which he has said. Let me explain more. Abu Hurairah narrates that the Prophet said that waladu zina sharru thalatha, a child who is born out of zina. His parents have been not a right relation, did zina, and because of that the child is born. The Prophet said that this born baby out of zina, he is the worst of three. Who are three people? The man who did zina, the woman who did zina, and the child who is born. So he is the worst of three. Can you imagine why he will be worst? Actually, he has no sin. Sinners are these men and women. The child has no sin. So why the Prophet said he is the worst of all three? Abu Hurairah narrated, but he did not explain the context. Maybe he did not know really. Then when Aisha found out, she was angry. She said, no, the Prophet did not mean this. The meaning of the Prophet is that he was referring to a hypocrite who used to hurt the Prophet. So he referring, and he was on the top of that, born out of zina. The Prophet said, this man who is son of born out of zina, he is the worst of three. Means he is worse than his parent. Because his parent, they did zina, but they did not hurt the Prophet. They were not hypocrite. He was a hypocrite. So that why he is worst of the three. So if you don't know the context, you can mislead the people. That is very, very important that when you learn a hadith, learn the context of the hadith as well.
Jazaki khair, Sheikh. That was very enlightening, alhamdulillah. Okay, we've got quite a few questions asking for explanations of certain ayat. Some of them may be a little bit too heavy to cover in this Q&A, but I do have one that maybe we can cover. Assalamu alaikum. What is the meaning of as-sabiqun as-sabiqun ulaika al-muqarrabun, which relates to thullatun min al-awwalin wa qalilun min al-akhirin? Does it mean that there are very little as-sabiqun in our time?
Yeah, do you know in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, Allah had mentioned three class of the people. People of the right hand, they are a big number of the people from the early generation, from the later generation. And then there are people of the left hand, unbelievers, and those who go to hellfire. They are a huge number. And then among the believers, some are as-sabiqoon, the forerunners in the front. They are the top people, no doubt, really. They're like prophets, messengers, sahaba, companions, many of them. Later people, big imams, they are the four, runners, top of the people. What does it mean, really? According to most people, it means refers to this ummah. In this ummah, sabiqoon al-awwalus, sabiqoon actually are mostly in the first early generations. And later generation, their number will go down. That's not also true, really, because you can see, sahaba, nearly everybody is sabiqoon. Then tabi'een, great people, then about tabi'een. So early generation, they have more people who are forerunners on the top. Later generation, like our time, hardly you kind of find people who are ashabul yameen, even the right-hand people. So we are so much corrupt. So this explanation, people go, and it is true, really. In our time, sabiqoon are very little. But it's not, the door is not closed. If you want to become sabiqoon, it's still open for you. But then you have to work hard. It means you have to prefer, really, akhirah over the dunya, zuhud, fear of Allah, being away from the sins, doing more ibadah, being nice to the people, spending money, doing all the good things. Yeah, you can become one of the sabiqoon, but it is not so easy. That way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the reward very high.
Okay, inshallah, let's move on to another question. Okay, this question is interesting. I think a lot of people from maybe certain cultures will be able to relate to this. Omar is asking, I wanted to find out from the Sheikh that I read in some books, if you call a particular name of Allah for 100 times, you get certain things. Is this valid? And I think this extends to various other things, Sheikh, that people say you do a certain amount of times and you get something.
Yeah, I know there are many hadith actually people making, you know, if you read this thing, this number and that number. The hadith of numbers are very, very rarely, you know, sound. Some are fine. Like, you know, subhanAllah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, Allah 33 times, La ilaha illallah. Some of these hadiths are, you know, fine, La ilaha illallah, so many times. You know, some of them are fine, but most of them are, they are not right, really. Don't worry about the number. More important thing is the quality, that you say things from the heart, you know, from your depth of the heart. You know, Yunus alayhi salam, when he was in the belly of the fish, just he said, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minal ghalimin, from the heart. And Allah saved him. Allah did not say that he said this 100 times or few hundred times. Just once. Musa alayhi salam said, Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khairin faqir. Once. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listened. Allah listens once. So, you know, and but those things which are praise of Allah, it's good to keep saying more time. But more emphasis should be on the depth. You make your heart, you know, moving with that. Like La ilaha illallah, when you say that, it affects your heart, it goes deep. Yeah, you get more reward, it changes, it makes your iman higher. So I will say, don't worry about the numbers. You know, your concern should be more about the quality.
Okay, we have a similar question, but I think that's kind of been answered by your answer here, inshallah. Let's okay, Fariha is asking how to increase khushu' in our ibadah, because the surahs that we recite daily, like Surah Yasin, Surah Waqi'a, etc., we tend to read it even without having full concentration.
Yeah, I know this is, you know, people get habit, you know, and then they don't think that what a'adah means. You have to break the a'adah. Like, you know, you see the universe, but you don't think what they mean really. Sun rising, sun sets. Stars are there, night comes and day comes and they come and go. We don't think anything really. Our life goes very quickly. But there are people who think, you know, they really, when they see the sun rise, it gives them meaning. When sun sets, they take some meaning. Night coming gives them some meaning. And they keep more reflection. They get more and more meaning. So clever people always take more meaning from, you know, depth of the things. That what should be really. Otherwise, if you just become slave of the adha, nothing happened. Same the surahs of the Quran. You know, don't just read like that. Think really why Allah wants to teach us, what He wants to teach us. What is deep in that? Qul huwallahu ahad, you know, people read and they don't understand, but if they go deeper, it is really amazing surah. It is one of the third of the Quran. Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq, qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas. So deep. Surah Al-Asr, Imam Shafi said, nothing has been revealed from the Quran except this surah. It would have been enough for us. So you see, they are very deep surah. There's so much meaning there, but you need to think, you know, make sense of the thing, and it is effort. You cannot concentrate on something unless you make effort. Think, I want to understand it, analyze it, and go for every word. You know, why Allah says wal asr? Why He said in the insan fi khusr? Why does it start like that? What does it really mean? Are the people really losers? In what sense they are losers? You know, ask all these questions, so you go all the deeper meaning. But if people don't want to understand anything, yeah, they just make habit. Nothing happened then, actually. Habit does not do anything. So you have to make effort to understand. You know, just don't. It means you have to focus. You have to concentrate. You know, the words should, you know, like, you know, whenever I read, okay, even when I woke, you know, the saying of Ibrahim alayhi salam, La uhibbul afilin, I don't love those who sit. Decline. I always get some new meanings. Recently, I've been thinking about lot about this verse, and I'm thinking to write an article, inshallah, about my reflection of what I think about this verse. Because I really believe that if people understand this verse, La uhibbu al-afilin, it will make them more clever. You know, it really increases people's understanding, thinking. It makes them much better human being if they understand properly. And imagine about Ibrahim alayhi salam. Who actually said this, how great he was, how thinking he was. So the verses of the Quran, they're really, you know, so great, really. Quran said, La yuflihu as-sahiru haythu ata. Magician, wherever he comes, he never succeeds. Think really, what does it mean? Now there are Muslims who believe that magicians succeed. They attribute so many things to magicians. Quran says they never succeed, and we attribute. Think about that, what Quran says. Who are the successful people in the Quran? Quran, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Who are these Muslims successful? The Quran mentioned. In every single verse, you know, think and understand, then you get better meaning and your iman increase. You become more clever person and more pious person, inshallah.
Inshallah. Okay, inshallah. Let's take... Sheikh, I want to bring up a topic that has been discussed quite a bit, actually, subhanAllah, yesterday on some online spaces. I don't know if you've received this question before, but it's on the topic of how we explain and describe Jannah to, for example, in some Islamic lectures or talks. And there were some women, Sheikh, that were expressing that oftentimes when Jannah is described and explained as something so beautiful and something to be desired, it's always explained in the sense of this is a place for men to be fulfilling their desires. They will get this and they will have virgins and they will... receive X, Y, Z things. And actually many, many women have been expressing, actually, we're not often, Jannah is not explained as a place for us. It's mainly just a place for men. And Sheikh, actually, some so-called Islamic lecturers and scholars, they've also said, they've said something, subhanAllah, such as, oh, even in Jannah, it's a place where men should be going out and women should still be staying at home. These rules still apply. Sheikh, can you maybe shed some light on how important it is for us to be able to understand these things?
You know, the thing really is that it will take a lot of explanation, but I'm really very upset that people think in a so different way. That's the reason, because people don't understand the Quran. Quran makes very clear that any male or female who do good deeds, Allah will reward them. And the rewards of Allah is paradise. And it is very, very clearly, like Pharaoh, his wife, she became a believer. She was not born in a believer's family, but still she's so great. Quran mentions her, and Quran has praise for her. She asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, build for me a house in paradise next to you. Build next to me a house in paradise. So she asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make her an example for all the believers. If the women don't matter in paradise, why she will make dua like that? And why Allah had to praise her dua? Allah could say that, you know, paradise is not meant for the women. You know, it is men. Actually, the thing is, paradise is meant for a human being. Leave the men and women. Every human being will enter to paradise if they obey their Lord. Why Allah made male and female? This is for this world, for a purpose. And that really is to make human generation, to raise the people for motherhood, all those things that he made. The people remain, you know, male and female in paradise as well. But the purpose is not that one is superior, one is inferior. It is both are fulfilling one purpose. A common purpose that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. That way they are women are not women because they wanted to be women. Allah made them. Men are not men because they wanted to be men. Allah made them. To understand all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people have the same reward. Then coming, when the favors of paradise are mentioned, why it is more kind to the men? Understand, most things are same for men and women really. Eating, drinking, enjoyment, you know, rivers will have all the fruits. You know, Quran says whenever they're giving a fruit, you know, they will say, oh, it is, you know, so new, everything will be so fresh. The water, the honey, and all the, you know, comfort and sofas and this thing and that thing. It all for men, women, nearness to Allah. That's the biggest thing, nearness to Allah. Allah will say, now I am so happy with you. I will never be angry. It all for men, women, everybody. All these are mentioned there. Only thing is that when paradise mentioned, it mentioned, Al-Hur al-Ain, you know, the women of paradise were so handsome, so beautiful. It mentioned, which actually certainly belongs to the men. So some people become, oh, it is just one thing and make them upset. They don't understand there are hundreds of the things in paradise, you know, all for everybody. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the people will get there whatever they desire. So why is it, yeah, it is a good question. Why is it only Hur al-Ain mentioned? Why not set up for the women? Because, you know, Quran is a book which is going to be read by the people. So something that people can understand but does not disturb the reading, Quran does not mention it. Because, you know, if Quran does not want people to be feel something bad, like Quran mentions the khatam Allah ala qulubihim wa ala sami'ihim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put a seal on their hearts and on their hearing. And then when it comes for the eye, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wa ala absarihim ghishawa, and on their eyes are covering. He didn't say Allah put a seal on the eye, because seal on the eye is very difficult to read. You know, people will feel hurt, you know, if you put seal on the eye. But a heart you don't see. So if some seal, you know, don't get the same meaning. So because Quran is going to be read, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed the wording. Quran is going to, in many, many societies, it is very bad really to mention for the women, they will get, you know, so many men as they desire, boys and this, handsome. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions one and other is known. So, you know, if I bring a reverse, you know, in my class for the people, you know, everybody, and I mention that, you know, in my class, every male and female students will get a reward. And the reward is that I'm going to give the men, you know, nice thawb, you know, that I said. And I mentioned already that everybody will get. I did not mention the women, so everybody will know really. The one which actually is lady dress, that belongs to the women. So I only mention the male dress, because if you mention, if there are two things, you mention one, the other already known. So if you mention hura'een, so what the women will get, it is known really, but it's not mentioned, because there's no need really. The two things are opposite. If you mention one, the other known. The women also will get whatever they desire, but it is not good in society to say something like that. And the Quran, the book, is going to read so widely. The Quran has made it hidden. But Quran sometimes said that, you know, the people will get whatever they desire. So tell me, is it anything bigger than that? If the women desire something, they will get. Men desire. What has been mentioned, really, just example. But then it has been summed up in the word, they will get whatever they desire. And the Prophet said that, you know, in the paradise, people will get ma la aynun ra'at, no eye has seen, wa la udhun sami'at, no ear has heard, wa la khatar ala qalbi bashar, and it never came to any heart. So I'm mentioning more than 99.9% things are same for men and women. Only one thing, hura'in, that looks like more for the men. So don't worry. The reason it's not mentioned, because Quran is going to be read. It is very bad in a society to mention something like that, which people can understand themselves. So when a hura ayin is mentioned for the men, people know what we will get. They don't no need to mention that. And especially when Quran actually said that both of them will get the same reward. Quran keeps saying that, you know, Allah will make them happy. Allah is going to give them whatever they desire. And then the wife of Pharaoh making dua for paradise. Paradise is not a masculine paradise, actually, it's for everybody. It's enjoyment for everybody. Whatever enjoyment for everybody. There's no halal, haram in paradise. In halal, paradise, everything halal. People can get whatever they like, really. The men get whatever they desire. Women get whatever they desire. There's no special reason. One thing not mentioned for a purpose. Everything same. Near. And the biggest prize, actually, in reward in paradise is not, you know, you get hura'in. The biggest one is Allah's nearness. That's why Pharaoh's wife was so clever when she said, I want nearness to you. There's nothing equal to nearness to Allah. There's no beauty more than the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When people see Allah, they'll forget everything. The enjoyment that they get in seeing Allah, that will make them to forget everything. Nobody will mention any hura'in or anything. That is much, much better. When Allah will say to the people, I'm happy with you, I'm never going to be angry with you, that will make everybody so happy, they forget everything. So, you know, read the Quran properly, something which not mentioned is still there, but you need to find it. That's why you need to tadabbur, think. Is it clear?
Alhamdulillah, that's so much more clear, Sheikh. Okay, inshallah, let's go. Let's see if we can take a few more questions. We have a question from Zulfiqar. Can you please explain what would constitute as kufr Islamically in terms of a joke or an action if someone does something unintentionally?
You know, nothing happens unintentionally. If you say something unintentionally, nothing will happen. Though it will be something bad manner. You know, you say something unintentionally about your father, but you do not mean. So certainly, it is not a big crime, but still, it can hurt people. So similarly, if people say something about religion or about the Prophet or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they did not mean anything. Somehow, their tongue slipped. Yeah, so they're not going to get sin, but still it looks very bad, really, that you did not raise yourself properly, you don't learn any culture. It's very bad. But when people make intention, yeah, that is certainly, it becomes kufr. So when you say something, words of kufr without intention, not kufr, but still could be ugly, looking ugly, because without intention, something can be ugly. Kufr becomes kufr with intention. And iman becomes iman with intention. Somebody said by joking, the word la ilaha illallah, like an unbeliever. He's not become believer by joke. So people who make a joke and all those things, they should be very careful, really. Because, you know, it is going to hurt many people. And hurt could be also, not very good either manner for you. So I'm not going to say that you become kafir by saying something like that in joke. But certainly, you know, it is not right, ugly. You know, it makes it very, very ugly. So people should be careful using the words. And ask other people, if I say something rude, you know, about anything in joke, please let me know so I can correct myself. You know, we should be a refined person, cultured person.
Okay, I'm going to see. I know we have quite a few questions, but they're quite heavy questions that will require more than 2 minutes to answer. So inshallah, hopefully, maybe we can address some of them next week. But we will take a question from Sarah, who's asking, can we consider people who don't pray Salah Muslim, and can we make dua for them if they die?
Yeah, there have been a difference of opinions among the ulama about the people who don't pray intentionally. So there have been people among the Sahaba, Tabi'een, and the ulama, there is somebody, leaves the prayer intentionally, he's a kafir. That opinion of among the ulama, Ahmad al-Hanbal, has the same opinion. Imam Shafi said he's not kafir, but he should be killed. You know, it is such a big crime, it's a big punishment. Imam Abu Hanifa said, it's not a kafir or he's not going to be killed, but he should be put in the prison until he repents. So that's the least thing that, some punishment for the people like that. But anyway, now we can't punish anybody. We don't have any power. So people don't become kafir. But still a big thing, really, because the prayer is very, very important. It's like criteria by which you know who is believer, who is not a believer. So people should be called to pray and they should be reminded, and it's such a nice life, really. We should make the prayer as best as possible. The people should. But if people leave the prayer, they don't become kafir. That is the right opinion. And we can make dua for them when they die. We make janada for them. We make dua for them. And hopefully Allah will forgive them and our dua will be helpful. And they will face, some people will face the punishment, the death judgment because of that. But one day, inshallah, Allah will forgive them. Or some people, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives initially, but that's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what we know really is that somebody who neglects a prayer or leaves a prayer, that does not make him kafir. That's our opinion. And still we can make dua for that person and hope that our dua for them will be accepted, inshallah.
Inshallah, I think we will end it there and continue where we've left off next week, inshallah. Jazakallah khairan, Sheikh, for joining us and always giving us your time, alhamdulillah. And likewise, jazakumullah khairan, everyone else, for joining us, alhamdulillah. It's always a pleasure to take your questions and to have maybe some topics and questions that we haven't really had before. So inshallah, please, I know we didn't take all of the questions. And also just to highlight, many a time when Sheikh's spoken about something or he's mentioned a hadith or a specific topic, Sheikh Akram does release a lot of articles online. So if you're asking for a reference for hadith Sheikh Akram has mentioned, we don't want him to always be repeating himself or just kind of getting out a specific hadith reference, XYZ. This Q&A is only 30 minutes a week. We do want to try and get as many questions as we can, but there's only so much we can do. So I do really recommend going onto our page, going onto Sheikh Akram Nedwi's Facebook page and seeing the articles that he has on our website, slm.ac.uk. I do sincerely apologize that we're not able to take heavy questions. We're not able to take some questions. The nature of them aren't, kind of, they can't have a 2-3 minute answer. And many a time, like I mentioned, Sheikh has written articles online. And if you do have any questions, or maybe it's something that we've spoken about before in the Q&A, You can email us. You can email us at info@slm.ac.uk for something that we have put out. If it's a course that we've had, if it's a Q&A that we've had, and maybe we can try and direct you in the right direction, inshallah. For anyone that isn't aware, Sheikh Akram is the principal of SLM Institute and the co-founder. We offer part-time Islamic scholarship programs. Our deadline will be coming up soon, inshallah. But if anyone here is interested in kind of studying Arabic, maybe immersing yourself in the Arabic language, becoming closer with the Quran, studying with Sheikh Akram Nadwi, studying the Islamic sciences, but you can't commit to a full time, maybe a full time mother, maybe you're studying full time, maybe you're working a 9 to 5. We offer part time Islamic scholarship programs that are a full Sunday. So it'll be a 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and you can access all of your classes online and study throughout the week. SLM Institute was designed to be able to cater for people that do want, have that desire to study and they can't kind of commit to a full year abroad or anything full time. So inshallah, please do check out our website, slm.ac.uk, our Instagram, our Facebook, YouTube. You're more than welcome to ask us any questions. You can email us at info@slm.ac.uk or on our website, we'll have a small chat box option, inshallah. Apologies, this has gone on for quite a while. We do have quite a few things coming up. We have a short course, a one-day short course with Sheikh Akram Nadwi. And this short course is called Asbab al-Nuzul, Quranic Context. It's a one-day short course studying the Quranic context with Sheikh Akram Nadwi. This short course will be on the 26th of June, which is a Sunday. It's only £25 at the moment. We've got a £10 early bird discount. So anyone that is interested, again, go onto our website. You'll see a big kind of slider on our website saying Asbab al-Nuzul. It's only a one-day short course. You'll get recorded access for a short amount of time. So anyone interested that maybe can't commit to a full-time program with us but wants access to Sheikh Akram and his wisdom, you can sign up to this course, inshallah. And I will leave you there and we will see you next week, Thursday, 6 p.m. BST, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum, everyone.